Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. Please make a gift online at loe.org or call 800-893-3377 right now. And thanks.
Some people see an echo of the roaring 20s and the turbulence of present-day financial markets. Back then, the U.S. economy went on a wild ride. Then came the fall. The fall of 1929, the stock market crashed, thousands of banks failed, unemployment soared.
Brother, can you spare a dime?
And by the next election, America was deep in what became known as the Great Depression. Economist Robert Reich was the Secretary of Labor in the first Clinton administration. Now he teaches at the University of California at Berkeley. And Professor Reich, how much does 2008 feel like 1929 to you?
Well, it feels a little bit like 1929. That is, there was, before 1929's great crash, a lot of leverage, a lot of borrowing going on, both by the private sector and by consumers. Great concentration of wealth. The top 1% in the 1920s had about 22% of total national income. Haven't seen that since then until last year. We also see and saw in the 1920s and also over the last few years a lot of irrational exuberance, you might call it. Some people would call it a speculation in Wall Street. Well, all of that caved in 1929 and continued to cave in. Now, hopefully, there are profound differences. That is, in 1929, the economic authorities, that is, the Federal Reserve Board, the Treasury, didn't really know how important it was to infuse a lot of money, a lot of public money, into the system very quickly in order to overcome a crisis of confidence. And we went in the opposite direction, in fact. Herbert Hoover put the brakes on government spending, thought that balancing the budget was very important. Exactly the wrong instinct. Right now, we have flooded the market. The Federal Reserve Board is spending like mad, as is the Treasury Department, as you know. So hopefully, we will not have a 1929-type situation.
So Mr. Hoover lost his job to a man named Mr. Roosevelt, who came in on pretty much a landslide and had this to say as he began his term.
This nation is asking for action, and action now. Our greatest primary task is to put people to work. This is no unsolvable problem if we face it wisely and courageously. It can be accomplished in part by direct recruiting by the government itself, treating the task as we would treat the emergency of a war, but at the same time, through this employment, accomplishing greatly needed projects to stimulate and reorganize the use of our great natural resources.
So, Professor Reich, Franklin Roosevelt didn't talk about pouring lots of money into banks. He said, let's use the federal government as the engine to hire a lot of people and put them to work. How relevant is that approach today? And to what extent do you think it should be part of a Green New Deal?
Steve, it is relevant to the extent that Roosevelt did understand how important it was to rebuild the nation's infrastructure, build roads and highways, bridges, all sorts of ports, things that the nation had never done before because there was so much unemployment, because there was so much excess capacity. And there are parallels today. Our infrastructure is crumbling. Most reports show that there's a lot of deferred maintenance. And with regard to the whole issue of energy and the environment, there is so much to do. The entire area of alternative energy sources, government investment in everything from solar to wind to biomass, all sorts of fuels to get rid of our dependence on oil and also clean up the environment. There's also likely to be a lot of unemployment out there, and maybe, just maybe, a lot of that investment will generate many, many new jobs, green jobs. If we've got investments that have to be made in infrastructure, in the environment, well, borrowing to make those investments can generate high payoffs and grow the economy in the future.
Former Secretary of Labor Robert Reich's latest book is called Super Capitalism.
In his first 100 days, FDR launched the Civilian Conservation Corps and founded the Tennessee Valley Authority, a massive infrastructure project to bring everything from electricity and flood control to health care and reforestation to the impoverished region.
Coming up, more ideas for the green agenda the president-elect should adopt. Keep listening to Living on Earth.
Support for the Environmental Health Desk at Living on Earth comes from the Cedar Tree Foundation. Support also comes from the Richard and Rhoda Goldman Fund for coverage of population and the environment, and from Gilman Ordway for coverage of conservation and environmental change. This is Living on Earth on PRI, Public Radio International.